to do. Have you ever been bloodthirsty so that you'd rather see an enemy dead than saved? Have you ever been bitter because your parent neglected you so you wanted to rebel? Have you ever struggled with wanting to usurp your boss, knowing that you could do a better job? Have you been ever so angry with the one who hurt your family that you wish them dead? Have you ever struggled with lust toward a member of your own family? David struggled with some of these things, and he fell to adultery and to murder. And as a result, his family had a great ripple effect from his sin. It's a terrible thing. And 2 Samuel 13 through 20 is a record of the ripple of David's sin. His family dealt with lust, with anger, with bitterness, with bloodthirstiness, and with jealousy. And yet, this morning, from their history in 2 Samuel, we learn the reasons they struggled with those things and why we do. And we want to look at those, and then we also want to look at the New Testament and to see how we can have remedies, how we can have victories over these struggles. 2 Samuel 13 through 20, we're going to do just touch briefly on each situation of five and see how unbridled desires can bring awful results. And the whole point is that we people today who struggle need to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we need to yield to His Spirit, because that's the only way to have victory. Now, first of all, we want to look at David's eldest son and what happened to him in the wake of David's sins. His eldest son was Amnon, and his unbridled desire was lust, and it brought abuse. Amnon's lust brought abuse. Amnon abused his half-sister. Amnon was David's eldest son, the firstborn. And Amnon had a half-sister named Tamar, who was Absalom, the third-born's, full sister. In 2 Samuel 13, 1, it puts it this way. Now, it was after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Or better put, he lusted after his own sister. And that, of course, was a sin. In Leviticus 18:11, it says, "Do not have sexual relations with your stepsister, the daughter of any of your father's wives, for she's your sister." But Amnon had strong pulls toward his sister. And in verse 14, we see, however, he would not listen to the sister. Since he was stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. He forced himself on his sister. Now, David should have done two things before that happened. Number one, he should have recognized that his children would pick up his own sinful propensities. Second, he should have been observant of his own sheep and his own family to recognize that this situation was happening in his family and that Amnon had these interests, but he didn't. And another thing is that once it occurred, he needed to have taken action. As the Supreme Court judge of the land, as king, he was to follow Leviticus 20:17, which basically says that if someone commits incest, they're to be cut off in the sight of the sons of the people. David should have stepped in and removed Amnon from the family and exiled him from Israel. But he didn't. David blew it. He had very little backbone. You know, if he really loved his family, he would have disciplined his family. I mean, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? David did the wrong thing in not disciplining his kids from the get-go and not coming down on Amnon to stop the tide of sin infecting his whole family. But what we see here is that Amnon's lust brought abuse. And I'm hopefully not like David in being clueless. One church I was a part of, I remember the first week I was there, a man coming and saying, Rich, I want you to know that I abused my two daughters. And I won't be here on Sundays because I've confessed this and the county has decided to put me in the county jail every weekend. And what a tragic thing to see the repercussions to those daughters that we sought to minister to. Now, I'm thankful that that man, through his confession, through the discipline of the church and the county, he got things squared away and he stopped doing that. He began to yield to the Spirit and to grow. But this is, you know, the first desire that some of us can be struggling with. And God wants to give you the victory through Jesus Christ. Unbridled desires bring awful results. The next son of David, his anger brought murder. Now, do you know why he was angry? And who he was angry at? He was angry with Amnon. That Amnon had violated Absalom's full sister. If you look at verse 20, then Absalom, her brother, said to Tamar, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? He saw how distressed his sister Tamar was, and he knew Amnon. David, unfortunately, didn't know his own son. But Absalom knew his half-brother. Is it Amnon? She says, yes. Verse 21, when David heard of these matters, he was very angry, rightly so, but he didn't do a thing about it. But Absalom did not speak to Amnon, either good or bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. Hatred, anger. It can get out of control. It can stew. It can boil to where unbridled it can bring awful results. And God lays that out for us here in the story of Absalom. He was the third son. We don't know anything that happened to the second son. He may have died a young age. Here's Absalom, his sister Tamar. And let's find out what Absalom does because of his rage that is unbridled. In verse 24, Absalom came to the king David and said, "Behold, your servant has sheep shears. Please let the king and his servants go with your servants." No. Verse 26, Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." The king says, Why should he go with you?" But when Absalom urged him, he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. David was so clueless. He didn't realize that Absalom was out to kill his son Amnon, Absalom's brother. He should have figured it out. Duh. You know, Amnon violated his sister. Absalom might be a little upset. So why does Absalom, after 2 years of being angry, want to get together with Amnon? Well, they go to Baal Hazor, and there they have a sheep shearing event. And the sheep are not the only ones who get cut here. Verse 28, we find that Absalom has told his servants that when he says the word, they are to lay their swords not into the sheep, but into Amnon, because of Absalom's anger that finally comes out, and Amnon is killed. Quite interesting that several years earlier, when David had confessed his murder of Uriah the Hittite, that Nathan the prophet had said to David these words in 2 Samuel 12:10, "Now therefore, David, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife, because you brought the sword on Uriah, you are going to be punished. And that is, the sword will always be in your house." And here we see the sword of Absalom slaying Amnon. Oh, Absalom's anger brought murder. In the New Testament, we find we're not to let the sun go down on our wrath and our anger, but we're to give our anger to God, not to vent it in hurting other people. In James 1, it says, "Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God." So when we are angry and upset with someone, we're to vent it to God. And we see many of the Psalms, David venting his anger to God to kind of get it out of his system. But we're also to put into our system and replacement the Word of God, to receive the Word implanted, which is able to save our souls. Unbridled desires bring awful results. One young man I knew that I had discipled for a time had a problem with anger management. And he got drunk one evening and killed a man. And so I went to visit him in the McNeil Island Penitentiary in Washington State. And he was so remorseful, truly. But a man was dead because of unbridled anger. Now, fortunately, this young man, after several years in the penitentiary, he had grown to give his anger to God, to recognize when he's upset, to get that out to God and to put in God's word. And the last I heard, he's serving the Lord and God is helping him have victory. But unbridled desires, if they're not checked, if they're not controlled, can bring awful results. Absalom's brought death to Amnon. Absalom then became bitter, not about Amnon, but about his father. Because remember, David again is supposed to step in. There was to be a consequence for murder. In Leviticus, it says, if a man takes the life of any human being, he shall surely be put to death. David was to execute that. David was to bring punishment to Absalom. But we pick up the story in chapter 13, and verse 27, Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ahimaad, the king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom had fled and gone to Geshur, and he was there for 3 years. Absalom ran off to the land of Geshur. His maternal grandfather, was the king of that area that was under David's rule. And Absalom ran off there, and David should have gotten him and punished him. But he didn't do that. We read on in 2 Samuel 13, verse 39, the heart of David longed to go out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he was dead. Oh, but David didn't. He longed to go after him, but he didn't. He didn't go after him to punish him. He didn't go after him to forgive him. He just let there be a separation between David and his son Absalom. And so Absalom got bitter. Why isn't my father reaching out to me? Why isn't he doing something to punish, to pardon? Finally, after 3 years, David says, okay, let him come back to Jerusalem. So Absalom goes to Jerusalem. David doesn't allow Absalom to come and visit him for another 2 years. And all those 5 years where the father neglected his son, Absalom is brewing this bitterness inside of him because of a father's neglect. And again, that emotion unbridled is going to bring harm. And so we read in chapter 15, in verse 4, Absalom would come to the people and say, oh, folks out here that are waiting to see my father the king, oh, that one would appoint me the judge in the land, that every man who has a suit or cause could come to me and I would give him justice. I'm sure for the 2 years he was stewing over Amnon's rape of his sister, Absalom began to think, you know, if I was king, I would have punished Amnon and sent him out of here. But my father David isn't punishing my brother Amnon. He says, oh, I should be king. I can do a better job. And now 5 years of bitterness toward David, he says, I'm going to take David's place. And so he began to win the people's hearts, and his charm and his beauty, his 4 pounds of long hair. All people loved Absalom. In verse 15, 6, in this manner Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. He turned on his father. And then he had spies go out through the whole land who he signaled that when they hear the trumpet, they are to say, Absalom is king in Hebron. And so Absalom goes down to Hebron. He says, David, Dad, can I go to Hebron? Oh, sure. The guy was so clueless, poor David. He didn't know what. And Absalom has the nation adopt him as king. And David does some very wise things as he hears that now Absalom has taken over the throne and been the king. First, he runs with all his warriors from the city of Jerusalem. He doesn't stay to fight his son, but he runs. And you think, why did he do that? Because if he would have stayed in Jerusalem to fight with his warriors against Absalom, there would have been so much bloodshed in that wonderful city. And so he got out of the large populated area. And as he got out, the priests, and this is mentioned in verse 25, Zadok, and verse 24, Abiathar, they grabbed the ark. And they can do that as priests, I guess. And they bring the ark, and they said, David, we're going to bring the ark with you on your run so that you can have the ark to worship. And David says, wait, no, the ark belongs in Jerusalem. You guys, put the ark back. And I love what he says in verse 25. This is 15:25. The king said to Zadok, return the ark of God to the city. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again and show me both it and his habitation. Oh, David loved to worship God in the place where God's presence was. And David knew that God had promised him that his throne would continue, that not Absalom, but Solomon would succeed him, and that Solomon would build a temple for that ark. So he knew that he wasn't going to be gone for long. He trusted in his fortress, in his refuge, that God would be there to take care of him and bring him back, that God would keep his promises. On the way out, he said to Ziba, okay, you can have all of Mephibosheth's lands if Mephibosheth has also defected. He told this guy, Shimei, who was cursing him and throwing rocks, let him do it. I'm being punished for my own sins. And then Absalom came into Jerusalem. And one of my favorite stories is one of the things that happens. David tells Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, to be spies and to let him know what Absalom does by telling their sons so they can get word to David. And their sons, Jonathan, and what's the other guy's name? They're the Ahimaaz. They find out that Absalom is going to give some time before he chases David. And so they're going to get word to David that he needs to get out while the time is there and run further away. And one of Absalom's men sees Jonathan and Ahimaaz. And so somebody hides them in a well. And when the threat is gone, then they go and they tell David, and David escapes. But I like the whole story. It's so neat about hiding in a well and stuff. But it worked. And David escaped to Mahanaim, and there God took care of him through a man named Barzillai, and then Absalom took off after him. One of the things in this whole revolt of Absalom, which is because he let his bitterness grow, is that David doesn't get bitter. That David looks to God. And in Psalm 3, we have the words of David that he composed, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And this is what David wrote and sang. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, the one who lifts my head. Instead of being bitter toward his son Absalom, he lifted his head to God, and God gave him the strength and the protection to go on and go forward and still to love his son Absalom. I encourage us to don't get bitter when you're neglected by your parents, but to give that pain to God and ask Him to be your fortress, your help, your deliverance. Because we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This week I was on the phone with a man whose supervisor has been neglecting him, a man who knows that he could do a better job than his supervisor. And I have seen this man handle this in the right way, to pray for his supervisor, to pray for the church that he's an associate pastor in. And God has helped him to love his supervisor, to support his supervisor, to pray and to encourage and to seek unity rather than rebellion in that situation. And that's what we all need to do. Instead of getting bitter, we need, to get better through yielding the situation to God and asking Him to develop our character for His glory. Because unbridled desires bring awful results. Absalom's bitterness brought revolt. Fourth of the five, Joab's bloodthirstiness brought bloodshed. Joab was David's nephew. He was also David's general. And it was his job then to mount David's warriors to defeat Absalom. And the chase went on. Absalom had gone from Hebron to take Jerusalem. David had ran all the way to Mahanaim. And Absalom crossed up here into the forest of Ephraim for the war to take place, to see if David or Absalom's troops would win and who would be king. And Absalom in the forest got hung up with that beautiful long hair. Now, David had instructed General Joab and his other commanders that in the battle, to be sure and not kill Absalom, to be gentle with Absalom. And one man spotted Absalom hanging from the tree, and he went to Joab. And it says in verse 18:10, a certain man saw it, and he told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." And Joab said to the man who told him, "Now behold, you saw him? Why did you not strike him that they're on the ground? And I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt." And the man said to Joab, "Well, even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not put out my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Protect for me the young man Absalom.'" And Joab says, "I've heard enough." Joab's emotions, he was a competitive spirit. He would have been a great football player. But he was a military man, and he was out to win the war, and he knew that killing Absalom was the way to win the war and against the command of his king, because his emotions were so stirred up. He went and he slew Absalom. And we read that in verse 14, 3 spears he put through Absalom. In verse 15, 10 young men who carried Joab's armor gathered around and struck Absalom and killed him. Again, Nathan the prophet had told David, "The sword shall never depart from your house." And David wept bitterly. In verse 33, the verse I've mentioned to you over the last few weeks, almost the words that came to my mind when our son had died. Oh, David was grievous. His son had died. And so David goes back to Jerusalem. He brings his troops back. He calls the tribe of Judah to bring him back to Jerusalem because that's the tribe he was from. He fires Joab from being general, and instead he puts Amasa, his other nephew, as the general. Joab loses his job. He forgives Shimei for cursing him. He splits the land between Mephibosheth and Zimri, even though Zimri had lied about it. And he takes Barzillai, who had helped him, his son, to be part of his court as he comes back to the land. But what about this story? Joab's bloodthirstiness. Have you ever been so upset about a terrorist that you wanted him dead rather than saved? Unbridled desires can cause us to do terrible things. You know this guy? Louis Zamperini. He was beaten and tortured in that Japanese prison camp. He got bitter. He wanted the bird killed. But God led him to a Billy Graham crusade one evening. And that night he recognized that Jesus died for all his sins. And he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he tells that that evening when he received Jesus into his heart, that God took away the bitterness. And then when he had a chance, he went back to Japan to forgive all those Japanese who had tortured him. And he sought the bird out, but the bird was unable to be found by him. But he forgave the bird. You see, when we come to know Christ and yield our heart to him, he takes away the bitterness. I like what it says in Ephesians 4. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. When we recognize how we've been forgiven, it opens our heart to be not like Joab, bitter, but to be like Jesus, forgiving. Now, the final part of this terrible, tragic part of 2 Samuel is the nation of Israel got jealous, and they started a war. Jealousy brought a war. You see, David had gotten Judah to bring him back. But the other 11 tribes, they said, how come we didn't get to bring David back? That's not right. You guys are privileged. And they were jealous of the tribe of Judah, that Judah had got to bring David back. And so one crazy guy named Sheba says, hey, all the Israelites, follow me. We will be our own nation. And they all followed him. Their jealousy led them to another revolution and to breaking off from Judah. And they had a civil war. The nation split eventually over these kind of things. And it was about to split here. But David took on Sheba. And what happened is Amasa, he told to go fight Sheba. But Joab, you know what Joab did? Joab was Joab. He killed Amasa so he could be the general. So there was a civil war within David's own family because of jealousy. It's quite interesting with Amasa being killed, David's nephew, that we've got four in David's family that have been killed in the wake of David's own killing of Uriah. And Nathan, when he came and confronted David, David said that the one who took the little lamb from the neighbor must repay fourfold. And Nathan says, you're the man who took your neighbor's lamb. And David paid fourfold. His son Amnon was killed by Absalom. Absalom was killed by Joab. And before that, the infant that was conceived through David and Bathsheba died. And now David's nephew is killed by Joab, his nephew. Fourfold deaths. Because the judge, David, had said he should pay fourfold. As a man soweth, that will he also reap. So Joab takes off after, what's the guy's name? Sheba, not Bathsheba, but just Sheba. And he takes all the way to the northern part of Israel to Abel, Maacah. And there they're about to knock off this city in order to take Sheba, who's inside. But there's a wise woman of Abel who says, wait, Joab, before you knock off our city and kill all our people to get Sheba, can we do one thing? Can we just throw Sheba's head to you? Okay. And so, poor Sheba, his head got thrown because this woman was wise. And that brought peace again to the land of Israel. And David got his throne back because God had said to David, your throne is going to last and Solomon is going to be your successor. But what we saw there is jealousy brought a civil war, not only to the nation of Israel, but in his own family. They were killing one another. Don't let jealousy fester in your life. There was one man who was jealous because this other religious leader was getting all the popularity and attention. And his jealousy led to anger that led to murder. And he began to kill all the followers of this religious threat. And then one day, this jealous man, Saul, met the threat, Jesus, on the road to Damascus. And his jealousy turned to love. Have you met Christ? If you have, I encourage us to recognize that our unbridled desires can bring harm and to follow the words of Saul, who turned from jealousy to Jesus. And I'd like to close by reading these words because they tell us how we today can have our sinful emotions checked. Because we all struggle. Here's what Paul writes. His name changed from Saul to Paul. So good. This is from the New Living Translation. Let me just read this and then we'll pray together. Verses 16 to 26. Verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature wants. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your own good intentions. When you follow the desires of the sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let's pray together. Father, we sin. We have evil desires. Tame us through Jesus, through the power of your Spirit, to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. God, right now we just privately to you confess our lust, our anger, our bitterness, our jealousy. And we crucify those. We nail that. We kill that. We get rid of it to the cross. And we seek the power of your Spirit of love, peace, and self-control. God, help us each day when we're pulled in different ways to yield to the pull of your Holy Spirit. We commit ourselves, Lord, to yield to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.